world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, Friday morning communion. Get ready. We'll take communion together. Joe's back with us. And I was saying to everybody before we got going here, it's kind of jet lag. That's not the right word, but Michelle and I both hit the rack last night. And it was like, just, you ever just really give a big exhale? that's sort of what we did. It's been a 2-week sprint for us here. Marathon, whatever you want to call it. Getting ready for Sky High, the event. And the event was fabulous and it was all good. But I told Michelle, let's go some desert island and let's lay on the beach for a week to get caught up. Hey, glad you're here with us today. Get communion. We're going to take communion together. And Joe's up here with us, going to make it. I want to share something with you real quickly. Hey, Spencer, I just sent it to you. We're going to play a little clip here, folks, of last Sunday morning. Sky High. And one of the things, it's going to start out with a shofar blast, ram's horn. The Bible says if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who shall go to war? So when they used to go out to war, they blew the trumpet. There was a guy, it was his job to blow the trumpet. He led the band. And up on the screen right now, again, bear with me, I got a couple screens at work here. It says the shofar blast holds significant meaning in Jewish tradition, particularly during the high holidays. The shofar, which is a ram's horn, I should have brought mine down, I'm sorry, is blown during Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, symbolizing spiritual awakening and repentance. So here's what it represents when you blow the shofar: spiritual awakening and repentance. There are three main types of blasts. The Tekla, which is a long, unbroken sound. The Shevrarim, I'm going to show you one of those. Hang on. Three short blasts. And the Trua, a series of staccato sounds, each carrying deep emotional and spiritual significance. Maybe we don't believe in this anymore, right? Maybe we don't believe in blowing the shofar. We do at the Coach Dave live house. We do. And the sound of the shofar is meant to inspire reflection and connection to God, marking important moments in the Jewish calendar. For some believers, the shofar represents God's victory over sin and death. And during the high holidays, the shofar is sounded 100 times, emphasizing its importance in liturgical practices. There's more to it, but this is significant. And again, I believe the sounding of the shofar stills the avenger. In other words, it's a sound that reverberates in the heavenlies. And part of its purpose is to silence or run off demonic spirits. I'm telling you all that because I'm going to open up here with a little bit from our Sunday morning service last week. Joe's going to do communion after we get done with this. But we're going to play the blowing of the shofar and then a couple minutes with Ray. About 5 minutes with what we did on last Sunday morning. Hey, friends, I'm more and more convinced that true fellowship happens in smaller groups. You can go to World Harvest Church, Pastor Rod Parsley, and you can hide in there with 5,000 people if you want to. You can go to Joel Osteen's church and hide in there with 10,000 people if you want to. You can go to Lakewood Church. I guess that's Joel Osteen's church. 20,000. You can go hide in there. But I call it special ops. We're special ops. And special ops, they call it what? Green Berets, SEAL teams. I believe God has special ops SEAL teams. And without sounding arrogant, I think this is one of them. I think it's one of them. And we could, you know, I could run down the litany. In fact, I may later on run down here a litany of things that we've done, impact that we've had. Because why? We go to war. We blow the trumpet and we go to war. So just bear with us here a few minutes. It's going to be about 6 minutes and then we're going to do communion. This is last Sunday morning at Sky High, outside under the tent. And you'll see I'm dressed like it's outside under the tent. And I'm sorry if I don't appear to be 6 foot tall, because I'm not. But I'm going to blow the shofar. And as I just saw, there's different sounds. This shofar was made for me by Alan Zeifer. And Alan, if you're out there, every time I blow it, I thank you and appreciate it. And I didn't have any formal training in it. Most people, it's hard to blow. It really is hard to blow. Alan had a special little mouthpiece put in it for me. So let's just watch this 5 minutes as we open up, and then Joe's going to come in and lead us in communion. Hey, listen, don't go away. I got some great stuff, okay? Go ahead, Spence. Not bad for an old fat guy, huh?
That's a lot of wind.
Just to lead us in prayer. Right now, like this. Coach, I've been waiting all day to do that. I've been waiting all day. Okay, hang on a minute. Okay, Gary, just a second. My wife's going to pray Psalm 90.
I already did.
My wife's going to pray Psalm 91 over us, which is the battle psalm. I don't know if you know that.
I did it.
It's the battle psalm.
I'm nervous.
And she's memorized it, and sometimes she gets talking to herself. Right. Oh, I'm going to forget the next line, but she never does. She did this at the Serpent Mound. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Did a demon break loose at the Serpent Mound with Michelle prayed Psalm 91. Go ahead, Michelle.
Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth is thy shield and buckler. Do not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that comes in the darkness, nor for the destruction that comes at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at his side, and 10,000 at his right hand, and shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Thy eyes only shall behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made thy God, which is the Most High, thy habitation. No evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. An angel shall keep charge over us, and keep us in all thy ways. It shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thy dash thy foot against the stone, and thou shalt tread upon the lion, and the dragon, and the young lion and dragon, they shall trample under your feet.
Amen.
Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has named my name. The Lord will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in times of trouble. I will deliver him and show him my salvation. In
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say amen on that.
Amen.
Okay. Who's going to pray?
Amen.
Go ahead,
amen.
Yeah.
Well, God, we thank you for this day. Glad to be gathered here. And we just thank you for this whole weekend of gathering together with this group. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation.
Amen.
We thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us.
Yes.
Lord, and that your Holy Spirit dwells in us, you know, even as messy as we are, as we work out our individual salvations with fear and trembling. And Father God, we just consecrate this time to you,
amen,
Lord, as we discuss your word, and Lord, I pray that that whatever is spoken to you today will be whether it's exhortation, encouragement, or anything else that needs to be spoken, Lord, that's directed by your Holy Spirit, and Lord, just guide us in our steps, Lord. Seek you for everything that you would have us do. You, of course, and how to try to make things happen on our own flesh. In say, your name be praised.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can get that off this.
Okay, folks, we got a song.
Okay, we got a song. Okay, go ahead and play it. Go ahead. Hey, folks, look. This is how church is supposed to operate. Not one guy standing up in front of you directing everything. Everybody has a word. Everybody has a song. I wonder when the I wonder when the last time Gary Dunlap had been asked to pray publicly at his church. I wonder when this last time. I wonder when any of those other people were ever permitted the opportunity to pray at the church. When was the last time they were ever able to give a word? When was the last time they were ever able to blow a shofar? See, we call it audience participation, right? Audience participation. Ain't nobody better than nobody else. Ain't nobody better than nobody else. Ray gave a great word. We sang a song. I'm mad at Dave Allison because he didn't bring his guitar because he was going to play music. I'm not mad at you, Dave. He was going to play music, and it was going to be an environment where everybody participates. Go to Joel Osteen sitting there for 20,000 other people and just eat. Just eat what he feeds you. That's why that's why I think we're so powerless. So blowing the shofar and Michelle's reading of the word, folks, those are weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Yeah. The pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we did that. We blew the shofar. We read the word. We cleared the atmosphere, and we sang a song. Go ahead. Play the song.
Who can lead us in a song? Come on. Don't give us a complicated one.
How about
blessed assurance?
See, we don't have a band director. We just do whoever. Right there, having some church right there. Audience participation in church. Yeah. Hey, before we get ready to take communion, I'm going to let Joe come in and lead us in communion. Now, we just had the word, the reading of the word. We prayed, did some praise and worship. This weekend, house to house here in Ohio. Pull that up there real quick, Spencer. If you're anywhere in Central Ohio or where, I don't care, this Saturday, Liberty Mel, 5 to 8. At their home. We're going to do some more of that stuff you just saw us do. We're going to do some more. And we'd love for you to come because, right, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And I don't know about you, I want to be in fellowship with the people I go to church with. I don't want to just see them on Sunday. Hey, how you doing? What's your name again? I forget why. No, I want to be in fellowship. And I know this, if Mel has a need, she's got some folks she can call on. If I have a need, we have some folks we can call on. Do you understand, friends? This is the power of house to house fellowship. Not some great big building where you go hide in, and then somebody does some music, they do some flashy lights and smoke machines, and then some guy gets up there and gives you the word, and then you go home, you know, do it again for next week. House to house, day to day. Amen. Doing okay? So house to house this weekend. House to house this weekend. Put it in the chat if they can, if you're local. If you want to get one of these started, we'd love to help you get one started. It's a network. I'm not king of it. I'm not Pastor Dave. I'm not Apostle Lou. I'm none of any of that stuff. I'm just getting older guy sitting in a chair in front of a camera telling you, you can do this. You don't need a cemetery training. You don't need any of that stuff. You don't need some doctrinal, you don't need a certificate from the government to tell you that you can do it. Huh? The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. There's a call upon your life. Hey, get in the damn game, will you? Get in. Will you get in the game? We answer the call. There's a call on your life. We answer the call. Say, well, coach, I only got three or four people to come. Well, good. The heck of a place to start with three or four people, right? It's not about how big your church is. It's about impact. It's about how impact the advancement of the kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if you're going to a place, can you imagine? I don't know if any of you out there have gym memberships. Can you imagine going to the gym, sitting in a chair, and watching the trainer work out? That's what church is. You go to the gym, you sit down in the gym, and the guy gets up on the pulpit and he works out. And you watch him work out. You go home and say, man, what a great workout it is. I feel good. No. Yeah, David, yoga at church, huh? They're having yoga at church. Okay, I'm rattling on here. I appreciate Joe getting up in the morning. We've read the word. We've blown the show far. Joe's going to lead us now in the taking of the elements. Go ahead, Joe. Thanks for getting up, Joe.
Welcome, Coach. Getting up was a bit tough this morning, I have to admit. That was a bit tough. Okay, the reading this morning is Hebrews 9, 20 to 28. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry.
Amen.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore... I got lost with moving.
23.
Yeah, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
Joe, let me stop there a second. It's important, folks, when you read the word, heaven is plural. Go ahead.
For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands.
Amen.
Which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year, with blood of others.
Wow, what a picture, huh?
For then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Wow, we're supposed to do that too, aren't we, folks? Aren't we supposed to sacrifice our lives for others? Go ahead, Joe.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that really says a lot, doesn't it?
It does, yes. It's the encapsulation of the gospel right there.
Yeah, there it is. And the mentioning that blood is necessary is a little bit more descriptive than a lot of people explain the gospel.
Amen.
And that's the spiritual truth of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're gathered here again this morning with gratitude for so many things, Lord. Gratitude that the creator of the universe would sacrifice his only begotten Son for us. And we can't really understand that. But actually, the Bible says the world. So maybe it's more than us. But still, we're gratefully included in as the beneficiaries of this sacrifice. We are grateful. We can't comprehend it, Lord. We try. We make a good effort. Our hearts believe. We have faith for salvation, but we really can't understand what was done. That God took Christ, a part of himself, and sacrificed that, risked it all for us. We just, it's amazing. And Lord, we're grateful for Sky High's big event last weekend, having been a success, that everyone arrived safely, was there safely, and went home safely. And that was good, Lord. That was very good, and we appreciate it. And Coach reminds us this morning that in Acts, at church, everyone was allowed to have the microphone, so to speak. Everyone could share their testimonies. And I believe that's why one of the reasons why miracles were so prevalent, that everyone could share the testimony. And I believe we're on the verge of miracles, Lord, here in America. I believe a lot of changes are coming. The veil to the other side is thinner and thinner. And so let us not be afraid to pray for miracles. Let us not be afraid to believe and have faith in them. And as we take communion this morning, I remind everyone that this can be the meal that heals. This can be a moment like the woman with the issue of blood, where we spiritually reach out and touch the robe of our Lord, knowing that if we do so, we are healed. And we could almost hear him, see him turn around, look at us, I'm feeling the Spirit, and say, your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
And Lord, we know that this isn't just for a woman with the issue of blood. This is for anybody listening to this call or the recording. That is possible, but we forget that it is. And so, Lord, also, our country is divided. Hasn't been this divided, I believe, since the Civil War. And then before that, since the Revolutionary War, this country is divided right now. And if I want to point finger at it, I would say, Lord, the media is the biggest culprit. With the changes in the laws and it being allowed for ownership of media not to be restricted in local markets, it's come down to a handful of companies and families that control all the media in this country. And it's not so difficult for most of them to get together and to spout the same view and to slander somebody who wants to change things. People think that they know our president because of what they see on TV. They don't know anything about the truth. They know what they've been allowed to know. They know what's been manipulated and given to them. They do not know the truth. And they're basing their values and who they speak to and all, everything else on lies. Because if what we're told is only partially true, then it's not truth at all. It's a lie. And last night, some truths were put on the table by our president. And our elections are a farce. They are manipulated. But I think that they're about to bring stuff out. The country will probably be more divided as these truths are uncovered and shown to the world and to the country and to our local communities. I ask, Lord, that you let people wake up now. They've accepted these lies, and I think that spiritually bound them to them. And I also know it's a lot easier to fool somebody than it is to convince somebody that they've been fooled because of their pride. They don't want to admit that they've been fooled, but they have. So, Lord, please take the hand of this nation. I never thought I'd see a president rededicating the nation to the Lord, but it happened this spring. So we are spiritually in a different place than we were before. So let our brothers and sisters and cousins and neighbors and aunts and uncles and parents and children who have suffered from this division, let their eyes open. Let them start to see the truth. Soften their hearts and let our nation start to become unified again. And then let this spread and let our elections be honest and true. Let those who deliberately broken the law and committed treason by election fraud and voter fraud and all those things that are in that basket, let them pay a price for that, Lord, so that it's never done again. It can't be done again. Let our nation heal, Lord. And so we're grateful for communion. We ask that you forgive our sins, our transgressions. Bring us cleansed into your sight, for this is a holy moment. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for us so long ago, but almost only yesterday in heaven. And we're grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks. Gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen. My old Catholic training says, "Happy are those who are called to his supper." Amen. Thanks, Joe. Go back to bed. Appreciate you.
I'm wide awake.
Appreciate you getting up, buddy. God bless you. God bless you. I got so much to share, but this is Open Phone Friday. We've kind of gotten away from that, and I could take you on a spiritual journey. I could take you on a cultural journey. We could go a lot of places with this show right now. I got a lot of stuff right here, a lot of stuff. But before I do, I just kind of want to pause and say, what's on your mind? Come on in. Wait a few minutes to. I have an action I want us to do, but it's open. Come on in. I'm going to wait 30 seconds. If nobody comes in, I'm moving on. Dr. Paul, come on in, Doc.
You know what I've noticed, Coach, since you've had the meeting in Ohio It's a new energy in here, Coach.
Huh? There is, isn't there?
And you make a good point about fellowship, but when that fellowship comes together, it's a game changer. When I first met you, what, 7 years ago during the COVID debacle?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I watched you, and that was spiritual, Coach. I mean, you've got a gift, and I'm quite amazed.
It's an anointing for sure. Yeah, it's an anointing for sure. Yeah. Right?
You and your wife, who I failed to see this time around. Anyway, I just want to point that out, Coach. I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, friends, please hear me. Stop idolizing or worshiping the person with the gift. It's a gift. See, I would be remiss if I didn't take this gift that the Lord gave me and used it to advance his kingdom. Or how wicked would it be if I took this gift that he gave me and used it to promote me? We see so much of that going on, right? So much of it going on. These large mega churches has basically destroyed Christianity. It's like going to a drive-in movie. You guys used to go to the old drive-in movie? Pop up the back hood in your station wagon, sit there and watch the movie on the big screen. That's Christianity. It's drive-in movie theater. Nothing's required of you. You sit there, you clap at the good parts, and you cry at the bad parts, and you go home. And the Bible says that forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see the day approaching. But that's what it's about. It's not about me, Coach Dave Live, even though I call it Coach Dave Live. It's about us. It's about what the Lord's doing in us, through us. And if you're on the team and you're never making a block or never getting a tackle or never intercepting a pass or never returning a punt or never kicking an extra point, to hell, why even on the team? Why even on the team? Huh? Want to go have a chalk talk? Go sit in there with Joel Osteen, let him lecture you for an hour. That's Christianity now, really? With the salt of the earth, with the light of the world. We're to go into all the world, teach them to observe all we commanded. You don't take Joel Osteen tapes. Pass out Joel Osteen tapes. If you can't articulate what happened to you through salvation and the rebirth of the Spirit and the power, what's going on? You can't do that? Well, here's what it is. A long time ago, when you got saved, somebody handed you a football. They told you, you're saved. Here's the football. Nobody ever taught you how to pass it, kick it, punt it, spike it. You just carry it. You just carry the ball. And the whole idea of Christianity is to pass it on. Pass it on. Go ye into all the world. That'd be your neighborhood. That'd be your family. Teach them to observe all he's commanded us. And the good news is he's with us always, even to the end of the age. When you're out there and you're sharing the truth and people spitting at you and throwing stuff at you, hey, David, he's right there with you, dude. He's right there with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And to think that it's all going to be, you ever been to war? You ever been in a football game? You think it's all nicey-nicey, kiss each other, pat each other on the butt? They all know it's a friggin' war. And we're in a war. In fact, they call it a wrestling match. Sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're on the bottom. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, that pull down strongholds, on and on. Okay, I'm rambling here. I'm rambling. Anybody else want to come in and break my ramble before I see 34 minutes after before I jump in? Dave Allison, come on in, Dave.
Thanks, everyone, for sharing this morning. Coach, as we were fellowshipping yesterday, we were talking about when we first got saved. And, Coach, I realized when I first got saved, there was a misconception. I thought I said the sinner's prayer, and that gave me a ticket to eternal life. But, Coach, really what that was a ticket like you get from a scalper that he gives you a good deal on a seat and you get the ticket from them. But when you go to the game, you hand them the ticket, and they look at the ticket and say, "Sorry, dude, this is fake." And so, I realized that I had to go back and understand that salvation in my walk with the Lord was more than just saying the sinner's prayer and walking away.
Amen, brother.
So we've had to overcome that, but we're thankful through the mentoring of brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got beyond that, and so just be careful. It's more than just a one-time commitment. It's a lifelong commitment to the Lord. Thanks so much.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. Thanks. Hey, I got a little action I want to coach us on here today. Hey, friends, are you looking at me? Will you do this? Will you do it? Or are you just going to pray? We'll just pray about it. Or worse yet, hope for the end times. Don't get me going on that one. I don't know if you watched the president last night. I did. I wasn't totally overwhelmed. Other than he gave us an action last night that I think is really, really important. If Christians don't do the action, who will? So here's what I'm going to put up on the screen here. I would like all of us, I think it's incumbent upon all of us, to contact our elected officials and ask them to secure our elections through the Save America Act, whatever they're calling that thing. Can somebody explain to me why every representative in America would not want citizens only to vote? Can somebody explain that to me? Yeah, you can't even get into your local, dare I say it, Masonic temple without a membership. You can't go swimming without a membership. You can't go in without a membership. And citizenship's your membership. And we have at least one political, actually two political parties. Neither one of them, folks, neither one of the political parties want to protect the sanctity of your vote. Anybody vote. Anybody vote. Nobody wants to do anything about it. So I'm going to have an action for you today. I'm going to walk you through an action. Judd just threw his hand up, Judd, and took it back down. Did you have something you wanted to say, Judd, before I work on the, give us the action here? Come on, if you do. Folks, we cannot not get involved and expect God to move. We just can't. We're the salt of the earth. And if the church stays home, we're going to get what we got. Go ahead, Judd.
No, I was going to say, keep going.
Okay. All right. All right. So here's what we're going to do, okay? President Trump, ended his speech last night. Pull up number six. I watched the whole thing. I wasn't blown away, but just play the, here's how he closed last night. We're going to do something. I'm going to give you an action. Hang on. Mel, you listening? Going to give you an action. Go ahead here.
To all Americans, I ask you to pick up your phone tomorrow, call your representatives in the House and Senate, and demand that they pass the Save America Act without delay. Together, we will restore faith and confidence in our country, and we will be bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Ththank you. God bless you. God bless our great military. And God bless America. Thank you very much.
So if we don't get in the game, then it was just a speech. It was just a locker room speech to us at halftime. And he asked us, please call your representative. Call your representative. Now, I'm gonna coach you here a little bit, okay? Pull up, I'm looking here. Bear with me a second. Pull up number 8. Here's a video, real short, on how you call your senator, how you call your congressman. Now, friends, please understand this. They're not interested in your opinion. Whoever picks up that phone is going to be some trainee, going to be some girl in the office. and they're going to be writing down for and against. That's all they're going to, they're not going to, they maybe write your name down, but they're going to put, is he for the bill or against? That's all I'm telling you. That's all they do. Don't waste your energy giving them a long lecture about what you think, yada, 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 yada. We want citizens only to vote. That's all. That's it, right? So here's an example. Here's how you call your senator. This is, friends, it shouldn't take you more than a minute. Shouldn't take you any more than a minute. You're calling to tell them to pass the Save America Act. Period. Boom. You can hang up at that point. They're just tallying up. Huh? Just, hey, tell the president, tell the representative for me. They ain't going to tell the representative nothing. That girl's sitting there tallying, making marks for and again. That's all she's doing. How do I know? Because my daughter used to do that. So here's how you call your senator. This is so simple. So simple. Play this. Minute and a half, I think it is.
Hi, I'm calling because there's a companion bill to House Bill 1415 being introduced today.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to advocate for having Senator Vance on that bill.
Alrighty. Can I get your name, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a constituent. I live in Mechanicsburg. My name is Tyler Woodcook.
I'm sorry, Tyler, I didn't get your last name. I don't have a great connection.
That's okay. It's Woodcook, W-O-O-K.
Freeze it. Can you see the girl on the other end? She's just writing down names. She don't give a shit what you're saying. She's just saying good, bad. She's just putting you in a category. Go ahead. Sorry, I swore. No, I'm not. Go ahead.
Okay. All righty.
And, I live in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and really like to see her be on that bill and sponsor that potentially.
All righty. I will definitely pass that, Ms. Jones. And that's the...
Social workers,
right?
Yes,
social workers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, terrific. I'll be happy to pass that.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, so there you go. She makes it. Hey, folks, you can say it in 30 seconds. Just say it in 30 seconds. You're telling your representative, pass the Save America Act. Don't get into a discussion with them. You're not talking to the senator. You're talking to some intern. Okay, this is so easy to do. But we got to do it. We got to do it. If we allow, as it's continued, you do know, right? The president yesterday presented evidence of election fraud. Presented evidence of it. It's real. This battle's just beginning. But they need to know. See, the elected officials need to know that you ain't voting for them if they don't get this right. Okay, so pull up number 6. Oh, wait, is that what I want? No, I didn't. Pull up number 7. I'm sorry. Pull up number 7. You got a pen or a pencil or put it in the chat. Here's a website. How to contact your senator. It's going to tell you who it is. Choose a state. Do it, Spencer. Choose a state for us here. Ohio. There's your two, huh? All right. How about sending them a message? How about sending them a message? Vote for the Save America Act. You can email them. If you don't want to call them, you can email them. Protect our elections. Save America. All right? Pretty easy. Pretty easy to do. And if we don't do it, the other, you bet your ARSSSS, the other side is. Oh, you can bet they're bombarding them. You can bet they are. Why? Because they don't just sit around and pray. They get actively involved. All right? So call your congressman, call your senator, go to number 8. We already did that. Go to 8B, if you could, real quickly. 8B. What is the phone number for my legislator, the Capitol switchboard, or the White House? And there are the numbers. Scroll down, Spence. Put it in the chat. There's the numbers right at the bottom. There's a number. Or there's the email. Want to call the Capitol switchboard? There's a number. U.S. Capitol, I'd like to speak to Harry Reid, whoever your senator, I'd like to speak so-and-so. And then you get him, and you tell him 1 minute, and then you're done. Or you can send an email. Each office has an email. Friends, we got to do this. We have got to do this. Because I can promise you, they're sitting there wondering today, after the call, after the presentation last night, Are people Do they really care? Because I'm going to tell you something. The God haters, the communists, they're calling. They're calling. Okay. Cool. Everybody got that? Say, we got it, coach. We'll do it, coach. We'll do it, coach. We'll do it, coach. Send them an email. You say, coach, I don't know who my senator is. Well, you can find that online. Go back there, Spence. Who's my congressman? Shame on us if we don't know. Who chooses a senator? Choose a senator. See, by golly, look, there's a telephone list. Choose a senator. Click on that, Spencer. Choose a senator. I don't want Curtis. I want my senator. All right, Ohio. You could call others. Oh, wait, you guys get it? It don't matter. It don't matter. Would you go out and moan and complain if you got something from Amazon that was broken? Would you know what to say if you called Amazon or they sent you something broken? Well, something's broken. You got to call them and say, hey, I got this. It's broken. Fix it, will you? Simple. Boom. 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 I'm looking at something. Pull up Facebook. Complicit media at the bottom. I'll get you in there in a second, James. Just a second. JT, hang on. Look at this, folks. Paul Spear, I don't know if you know him, he was a good guy. Breaking. When was this? It would have been last night. Despite the president breaking stunning news of massive Beijing hack of U.S. voter data, and the massive cover-up of its election interference by the FBI. Hey, folks, the FBI and CIA covered it up. The FBI and the CIA covered it. We got the facts now. Not only them, but CNN and ABC and NBC didn't even carry the president's message last night. Why? Because they're complicit. Yeah, they cut away from it. Only News Nation, Fox, and C-SPAN covered it in full. You believe that? You believe that? Trump accused NBC, CNN, and ABC of being part of a plot to help this election fraud keep going. And he called for the FCC to revoke NBC and ABC's broadcasting licenses. Is there anybody out there that doesn't think that all three networks ought to carry it live when the president speaks to the nation? What the hell's going on? What's going on? Wow. Okay, one more thing here. I'll open it up here. That's not it. That's it. Make sure I get the right thing here. I want to wet your whistle with this one because this is going to expire later on. Joe Bannister, pull him up, number 5. This ain't got nothing to do with what you heard last night, just kind of planting the seed here today. Folks, the income tax is unconstitutional. You know that, right? You know that? Now, this is Joe Bannister. I've followed Joe Bannister for probably 20 years. Former IRS agent is going to show you right here. Yeah, Joe Carrico, revoke the broadcasting licenses. That's what they ought to do. Joe Bannister is going to tell you what a fraud the income tax system is. Former agent Joe Bannister going to tell you the truth about the IRS. Go ahead.
How did this all start, Joe? I mean, I know it goes back to the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. And then, of course, when taxes were first introduced, an income tax, it was supposed to be temporary, right?
There was an income tax attempt in the late 1800s that was declared unconstitutional. So for a 20, 30-year period, they went back to the drawing board, you know, the bankers and everyone. How do we need to extract more money from the people? And so in 1913, the 16th Amendment was proposed and offered out for ratification. The evidence shows that the 16th Amendment was not ratified. It was or fraudulently ratified. So really the income tax was a bastard child from the moment of inception in 1913. And then, as you mentioned, the Federal Reserve Act was also passed in the exact same year, not a coincidence. But by 1916, the Supreme Court actually ruled that the 16th Amendment, the Income Tax Amendment, did not expand federal taxing power. So for all that effort of getting an income tax amendment to the Constitution that was fraudulently ratified anyway. But even if it was legitimately ratified, the Supreme Court said there's no new power. Whatever power the federal government had before the 16th Amendment is the same as after. And that's actually where the beginnings of the obfuscation, shall we say, mm-hmm. in 1916, where the paper trail that I've reviewed starts. And what happens is the government, the Treasury, with the Congress, began to obscure in the actual written laws who was actually required to pay it. And then when World War II came along, you have all the propaganda relating to funding the war, but then after the war, all the debt, and, you know, we need to pay off the war debts, and everybody needs to get in and help row the boat. And that's when withholding became ubiquitous, withholding from people's paychecks. So it's been a very slow process. But then, of course, you know, one generation to the next, it's like, well, my parents filed a tax return. I've mm-hmm. got to do that too, right? And so
it, yes. You know, you can't do anything without it, right? You can't get a mortgage on a home or, you know, many other things because people want to see your tax returns. So it's really still quite a powerful weapon of control.
Can you believe, folks, think about that, that the government gets part of your money, you never touch it. They take it out, withhold it. Wow. Yeah, put that in the chat. Somebody stick that in it. Well, I'll do it. I'll do it as we go here. Come on in there, JT. Sorry you had to wait so long. I'm not sorry. Come on in, JT.
That's all right. We got more knowledge on how we've been deceived by the government we supposedly serve, right? I just want to thank you for the prayers yesterday because everything went well yesterday and for my procedure. I'm going to be out today. Well, that's good. So I want to thank you. Love your brother.
We're glad it went well, man. God bless you.
It's a miracle when you come out of a hospital. When you go to a hospital, you don't know.
You don't know, brother. You don't know what's going to happen, do you? They give you a COVID shot and the rest is history. Come on in here, Vinny. I'm trying to figure out how to put this in the chat. I'll put it in right there.
Spencer put it in the chat, but I just want to talk about the media blocking the speech. The reason,
Vinny, can you believe that the media doesn't even carry a nationwide speech from the President of the United States? Go ahead.
Well, they couldn't because they would cause cognitive dissonance in all their viewers because right. they lied about him all these years.
Right, right. And because of that, right, the media is complicit in all this stuff, folks. It's all complicit. Hey, there's a devil loose. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, I'm going to make some of you mad. I don't care. Y'all can be on that. Bolt number 9. Go to the 52nd mark. Alex Jones. God bless Alex Jones. Folks, you know that they want to merge our military.
Now, do you realize
that? They want to merge Israel and America's military. It's before the Senate and the House right now. That was rejected yesterday. Senate voted. Look at that. 46 American senators voted to blend Israel and America's military. Why not America and England? Why not America and Sweden? Why not America and Venezuela? Why America and Israel blending? Oh, I know why. Because there's God's chosen. Oh, but I thought there was a separation between the church and the state. What's going on here? Oh, I know. They make rules. And then they decide whether or not they have to follow them. Oh, I got it. Okay. This is what Alex has to say. 50 to 46. It's amazing. 46 U.S. senators voted to combine our military with Israel. Play it. Started, what did I say? What did I say? What spot? I gave you a starting spot.
Be true. The Senate voted 50 to 46, not to pass the Defense Authorization Act,
2027, that $1.5 trillion bill. And the people that voted against it said, because the war continues, there's no end in sight, there's no strategy. And a lot of the senators said, because there's this legislation in there, Section 219, it was 224, they changed the bill, that merges our military. It actually says that, synchronizes it with the Israelis and lets them co-own our weapon systems. Netanyahu says he won't need the tens of billions a year we give him anymore in pure money and military aid because, well, they'll earn it by co-owning all of our military systems. This is crazy. I don't care if you're a Christian Zionist and love Israel. I don't want any foreign government running and controlling our country. But here's what's most important. Every Republican voted for this. And the Democrats are normally my arch enemies and are absolutely horrible on almost every other issue. But at least on this issue of wanting to know where the war is going and exercising the war power some and saying, well, what's this merger with our military by the Israelis that Netanyahu wrote letters to Congress thanking the House committee heads that passed out of committee for adding his language that he sent them. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu, who'd be in jail right now if it wasn't for him starting all these wars, he runs Congress, he writes the legislation, and now Huckabee and him are calling it a marriage of the U.S. and Israel?
And I tell you that if the United States ever forgets its heritage and forgets the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we will not be the great nation that we have become, and we will fall. And it's why that when I hear people say, is it possible that America and Israel will split apart and will no longer enjoy this extraordinary partnership? And I say, no, no, no. You got to understand. We're not that stupid. I hope we're never going to be that stupid. The truth is, it's like an incredible marriage between Israel and the United States. And when people ask, are we going to break up? I say, not a chance. Because neither country can afford the alimony if we ever broke up.
Unbelievable.
And that's why we will be partners for as long as there is. Thank you.
I don't want to marry Israel. I don't want to marry China. I don't want to marry the UK or anybody. I'm not going to marry the U.S. government. This is creepy. It's rape. It's like Bill Gates wants to put poison shots in your body. It's all about making you get in bed with the Likudniks. That's not even Israel. It's like crazy megalomaniacal greater Israel people. They're even going against Israel.
Thanks. Okay, cool. Huh? Hey, folks, I'm sorry. At the heart of this is Christianity. This is the separation between the church and state. And every Republican voted to merge our military with Israel. Doesn't that bother you? Huh? Doesn't it bother you? Does it make you anti-Israel, anti-Semitic? We don't want our government to merge with Israel. We're such cucks. I'm telling you, we're such cucks. Lorianne, come on in. Hurry up, we got 2 minutes.
First of all, we need to divorce ourselves from Israel. Netanyahu is not our president.
He's not a believer.
And they're not getting any alimony because, you know, Huckabee can take his alimony and go and pay someone else because it can come out of his pocket.
Amen. That's an elected official.
We paid enough money to Israel, and this is about all Americans, not all Israelis. It's the Jewish Americans, it's the Black Americans, it's the white. I don't care.
I don't care either.
Americans. I don't care.
Lorianne, they're getting away with it because the church endorses this malarkey. The church endorses this malarkey.
It's nonsense, and you know what? And thank God for every single one of those Democrats, because every one of us Republicans that aren't standing with that should call that Democrat that's in office and say thank you.
Amen.
For speaking the truth, right? The
Democrats saved us from. Unbelievable. I'm out of time. I got to run. Hang in there, Judah. Joe, I'll get you in there. Folks, hey, do it, will you? Call those people. Email those people. Tell them, pass. Save America. Don't let those foreigners vote. Oh, tip of the iceberg of what we're going to see. God bless you. Have a great weekend.